So you may have been able to tell what our theme is for the day, based on my hat. I don't know how well everybody back here could see it. It's kind of crazy. I'm going to put it right here for now. You'd be surprised what happens when you go to a thrift store. Things like that happen, and people look at you really funny when you're trying to put a vase on your head. But what I want us to draw attention to is the scripture this morning. So you'll notice in both of the scriptures that there's this theme running through them about how we approach people, about how we sometimes make judgments upon people, whether we mean to or not. And so what I want us to do is to listen to that, to see where and there that God is speaking and where God is calling us to act and be different as a result. So I believe Leslie's going to take it from here with our reading from the book of James.
The first scripture reading is from the book of James in the New Testament, chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, and that can be found on page 231 in your pew Bibles and on the screen. Warning against judging another. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers and sisters. Whoever speaks evil against another or judges another speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver and judge who is able to save and to destroy. So who then are you to judge your neighbor? The word of God for the people of God.
So the gospel lesson for today is part of the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew chapter 7. This is the end of our series for June on Words to Think About Part 1. And next week we make a shift to Words to Think About Part 2, and we're going to talk about words like faith and compassion and things like that. So chapter 7, do not judge so that you may not be judged. For with the judgment you make, you will be judged, and the measure you give will be the measure you get. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how you can say to your neighbor, let me take the speck out of your eye, while the log is in your own eye. You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. So if you could please join me for a quick moment of prayer. Gracious God, we ask that you be with us in this time to lead us and guide us to better places of understanding what you have called on our hearts, that we may become more your servants in all we do. Amen. So typically, I'm sure you've figured out by now that I like to start sermons with a story. And so those stories, sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. But my hope with them is that they embody the message that I'm trying to get across. But today, we're not going to do anything like that. We're going to do something very, very different. And I'm going to need your help in order to do this. So there's going to be different pictures that are going to be coming up on the screens. And what I want you to do is to just call out what you think it is as the picture reveals itself more and more. Does everybody think they can do that? It's okay to be wrong. I just want people to be calling stuff out. Okay, so if we could get our first one starting to reveal itself. So I've heard sun, I've heard oranges, sunrise, smoothie. I'm hearing all kinds of things. So it's a little mysterious. It's a little mysterious. Candy. I've heard candy. It could be any number of things. The sun. So we're going to find out what this is right now. So this is actually a picture of carrots. So that really doesn't look like something. That doesn't look like our typical picture of carrots. And so that picture was a little deceptive. Let's see what about our next picture.
Yeah.
I heard carrots again. It's not a bad guess. The first picture was really, really weird. Toothbrush. Dirt. Water. Ice crystals. Pollen. A mop. So I'm hearing lots of different things again. Carrot top. Pollen. So what is this really? It's looking at the inside of a paintbrush. So if you're looking right at a paintbrush, really, really up close. So that's what that picture was. Kind of an odd picture as well. So this is going to be our third and final one. I promise it's not going to be as tricky, or at least it'll be tricky in a different way. So what is this a picture of? A leaf. I mean, it's definitely a leaf so far. It's a plant. What kind of leaf is this? Maybe I should be a little more specific. A green one. I've heard a couple different places, poison ivy. And this is in fact poison ivy. I wanted everybody to see a picture of poison ivy because everybody should know what this looks like. Just in case you're out in the middle of nowhere, you're hiking, you should know what poison ivy looks like just to avoid it. So these pictures, each in their own way, were taken to be almost purposefully deceptive, or that you required some sort of special knowledge to know what it was. So the first two were definitely deceptive, and this one, like, you have to know that this is poison ivy to know that this is poison ivy. Leaves of three, let it be, just so everybody knows. And I have to tell you, when I was trying to find these pictures this week, I didn't guess what they were either. The first one, the carrot, like I had no clue. I just looked at it, and I stared at it for about 5 minutes. I had no idea what it was. And then came to the toothbrush, or to the next one, the paintbrush, and I thought it was a toothbrush. So at least I was like, you know, kind of in the ballpark. But yeah, the carrot was just a complete and total mystery to me. I had no clue. So you might be thinking, well, you know, what do pictures of a carrot, a paintbrush, and a picture of some poison ivy have to do with judging others? And the answer is, you know, directly, doesn't really have anything to do with judging others. But when you dig a little bit deeper, a connection begins to surface. What you saw in the pictures required something extra to figure out what the pictures were. And if you didn't have this extra little bit of information, figuring out what was in the pictures was going to be that much harder. So yeah, you might have guessed the right answer, but you know, it could have been because you just made a good guess, not because you actually knew what the picture was. But if you had all the necessary information, if you knew what all was compiling together with those pictures, you'd probably make the right call right from the beginning. You'd know exactly what it is. So as soon as that little piece of it started coming around, that's a carrot. That's a brush. That's a paintbrush. That's poison ivy. And this is kind of call-making behavior, figuring out what things are, is something that we're all hardwired to do. We're all hardwired to figure out what things are so that we can make the best decisions that we can. And so the fuller and the fuller our understanding is, the better and better decisions, hopefully, that we make. Now, if you knew the first picture was a carrot, that's fantastic. But if you knew going into it that it was going to be a close-up photo of a piece of produce that is in nearly every refrigerator in the country, you'd probably be able to guess that a lot easier, right? And if we kind of scale that out a little bit, if you just knew that it was a plant, would that have made that picture easier to guess? Yeah. Well, I mean, hopefully. There's a lot of plants out there, so really, but it still limits your options. So the information that we acquire, that we put into things, helps us to make judgment calls that we need to make in order to live. We have to make judgment calls as a matter of our own survival. And this is the case now. And it's pretty much been that way since the beginning of time. Because we as a species have always had to make judgment calls to have the best possible outcomes for our future. Now, this is fine when you're trying to determine whether a plant is poisonous or not, right? There's a definitive answer. Either it's poisonous or not, and you either know that or not. And there's only one way to test that, and you just hope that it's not poisonous. But having the right knowledge means that you will, having the right knowledge will hopefully mean that you will make the right call, and you will know whether a plant is edible or not. But when it comes to judging other people, you're not ever going to be able to have the full picture of who that person is, of where they are coming from. And so any judgments that you have about them are probably not going to be entirely correct. Because our field of knowledge, no matter how much we would like to think, will never be complete. And if you think that someone is, as an example, if you think that someone is likely to harm you because of the behaviors that person is showing, you are more than likely going to react to that. You're probably going to change your behavior so that you are able to avoid that person trying to hurt you in the first place. And you're going to do this to help you, and you would probably do this to help all of those that you care about, because it's the smart thing to do for survival. And this isn't necessarily a bad thing. But once you start making judgments about people in regards to something like safety, it becomes real easy to make that leap to judging other people around different subjects. Here's an example. If your religion says that eating shrimp is wrong because they're dirty creatures, then your judgment about people who eat shrimp is going to be skewed to thinking that those people who eat shrimp are dirty. And you should avoid them because you don't want to taint yourself. So your judgment is that those people are tainted because of what they eat. And those people are therefore less than you are because of a decision that they've made. Now, if you were Jewish about the time that Christ was alive, this is exactly what you would think. Leviticus in chapter 11, verses 9 to 12, says that you can eat anything from the seas as long as it has fins and scales. So fish? Fish is good. But shrimp and lobsters, they don't have, I mean, they have fins, but do they have scales? Not really. So the scripture also says that because they don't have fins and scales, that anything that doesn't have fins and scales is detestable. So we should avoid it. But how many people in here like shrimp and lobster? Right? Has anybody here not ever had shrimp or lobster? Exactly. So we could all be detestable by those standards. And I don't think that we're all detestable people. I know most of you. We're pretty good folk for the most part. So what winds up happening, at least in this case, is that we violate some kind of law or something along those lines, and it violates some sort of idea. And in this time, there were many, many laws that were governing how people should live. So if you violated one of these religious laws on the days when Jesus walked the earth, you would be potentially opening yourself up to be shunned by everybody around you. For no other reason than you made the call to eat something. And I don't know about you, but to me that doesn't strike me as being something that's very loving. That's not in line with the God that I know and the God that I love. And Jesus knew, I think it's pretty clear, that judgments of people by other people were being made all the time in his world. He knew the full situation that was in hand, and Jesus confronted the judgers when judgments of shunning were being made. Judging without a full picture of what is happening in each and every space was exactly what the Pharisees were trying to do. They were trying to trap Jesus. They wanted him to make a judgment call based on their standards, but not based fully on the standards of what Jesus was about. And these people, as with so many of us at times, lived lives where judgment was kind of clouded. so the full truth of reality could not be seen. And I think we all have an understanding of this in some ways. We don't know fully what God has in store, but sometimes we think that we do. And we think that we have God all figured out, and little do we know all of the things that God is actually doing. God is always doing things that are far beyond our scope, beyond our reach, beyond our grasp. And just when we think we have things figured out, the Holy Spirit kind of sneaks up behind us and just goes, "Surprise! That's not what I had in mind." And we have this because we are built to make these judgment calls. But we're also finite beings. There's only so much that we can know because our time here is limited and we only ever get the benefit of our own experience. And luckily, I think, Jesus saw this in us too. When Christ came to be one of us, to experience life as a mortal, Christ took on this nature of limitation in many regards. He got to experience the limited, obstructed view that all humans have. And in our scripture this morning from Matthew, it calls us to see the limited view that we all have. That it's easier to see the shortcomings in other people and pronounce them than it is to see the shortcomings in ourselves and pronounce those. Because we're not able to see beyond the veil of what we don't know. We are only able to speak to the experiences that we have. And this, in my mind, is why these particular words of Jesus matter so much. "Do not judge, so that you may not be judged. For with the judgment you make, you will be judged. And the measure you give will be the measure that you get." So basically, when we are judging each other, we are opening ourselves to be judged in the same way. And Jesus continues, "Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbor, 'Let me take that speck out of your eye,' while the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye." So if we could show my next slide, it's a little cartoon that illustrates this point. I don't know if you can read what it says from where you're at, but it says, "Dude, you got a speck in your eye." And it's pretty clear that a big honking log coming out of that guy's eye. And so obviously these words of Jesus aren't meant to be the literal thing, because do we have logs in our eyes? No. But we get so used to the places in our lives where we don't have knowledge and where we are weighed down by things that we work around it without knowing that it's happening. So how do we move forward? How do we clean our vision so that we are living a life that is not encumbered by this log that's in our eyes? And I think that we do this by striving to be more Christ-like in all that we do and in every aspect of our being. Christ knows the full extent to which we are weighed down by the log in our eyes. He knows the spaces that we are not able to see. He also knows that if we were able to fully see, that our decisions around judgments would probably be very drastically different from what they wind up being. So take a look at this cartoon again. It's really humorous, but I think it's spot on to what Jesus is talking about. We look at others and we see what is wrong with them while struggling to view ourselves and the problems that we have. In his life and in his teachings, Jesus was trying to get us away from this log in our eyes and trying to offer us another vision. Jesus was offering to us a vision of the kingdom of heaven on earth, a divine reality where everyone would be free from the things that cloud our vision, so that our lives are free to follow God with all that we are. Jesus was trying to bring before us a mirror of ourselves so that we could see where we were falling short. When Jesus calls out to us as hypocrites, he's not doing that to pass judgment on us. Jesus is calling us out to try and wake us up to the truth that we have an issue, that we have a problem. So hear the good news, my friends. When you accept the freedom that Christ offers you, you live a life that is truly free. You get to live a life where you are not subject to the negative judgments of this world or the negative judgments that you place upon yourself. You get to escape the judgments that we all face in this world and on each other. And when you do this, you escape the imprisonment that judging others causes. And by living a life that is always striving to be more Christ-like, you live a life above example that shows to others what it might mean and what it does mean to be truly free. So I challenge you to do yourselves a big favor. In the spaces where you think you may have God figured out, seek God even more so. Because you are a finite being who can never fully understand all that is set before you. And this is not a bad thing. It's just a reality. We can never fully comprehend all that is before us. And not that I think this would happen, but I would hate for you to go out into nature and put poison ivy in a salad because you think you know what it is and understand everything about it. In every part of life, I challenge you to ask God for wisdom and guidance, to search for the answers that are placed before you and to rely upon the grace of God to pull you out of the cycle of judging. Amen.